You notice by your bulletin that I've titled my message today, Noah's Days All Over Again. As you noticed, our hymns today on how they've all tied in with, first of all, the first hymn was, Have You Any Room for Jesus? Second one, God calling, and yet I shall not hear. Are you listening? Or are you so tied up as the people in Noah's days? The gospel text today is Matthew 24, verses 32 to 44. I encourage you to stand if you're able. If you've got your Bible there in front of you, Matthew 24, beginning at verse 32, in Jesus' name. Now learn the parable from the fig tree. When its branch had already become tender and put forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So you too, when you see all these things, recognize that he is near, right at the door. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. For the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. For as in those days before the flood, there was eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away. So will the coming of the Son be. Then there will be two men in the field. One will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and one will be left. Therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. But be sure of this, and if the head of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert and would not have allowed his house to be broken into. For this reason, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think he will. Lord, today, again, we just pray that you will take and use this time and this message to change the hearts of your people. And Lord, those that do not know you, Lord, that it will soften their hearts and bring them to a saving knowledge of you. In thy name we pray. Amen. As Christians, we oftentimes need to be reminded that this life that we're in is like a race. It's not a rat race. It's not a race against time as much as it is understanding that it is a race that is against physical and spiritual attacks of the devil that hinder us, the evil. It is not a race against one another here. It's a race against and again the evil of this world. When we take time to take and look at this world, look at the spiritual condition of this world, what's it like? It's very obvious, my brothers and sisters, that the finish line is before us. When we look at the world, Hebrews 12:2 tells us, fixing your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. When we consider this race, we need to keep our eyes focused on Jesus Christ. He is our captain. He is our completer of our faith. He's the one and only one. So many people today are lost because they have not found the refuge in the safety of the arms of Jesus Christ. The very saddest part about all of this is they did not see it coming. They don't see the end coming. They have become so comfortable in sin that they've blotted out all other things. They don't see the signs of the times that scriptures talk about. They don't see the things that are happening throughout the world as a sign of the ends, because their vision has been clouded by sin. So today I'm going to be telling you that now is the time, that it is all happening again, Noah's days, all over again. And you better get into the ark, get your life right with Christ. You've all heard the story of Noah, the preacher who lived amongst a very sinful world. Noah preached the coming of the punishment of God. Yet no one listened. No one but his family listened. No one heard the words. As a preacher, I can only imagine Noah's frustration, Noah's anger as dealing with these people. It becomes very frustrating when you preach Sunday after Sunday, week after week. You preach about the wages of sin. You preach about loving one another as God has loved us. You preach about what it means to be committed and dedicated to the building of the kingdom. And you preach about laying aside hatred, jealousy, disobedience. And yet, we see that same behavior in all of us continuing. It's almost like a preacher preaching, and it goes in one ear and doesn't even stop as it comes out the other ear. We don't even take time to think about what was said. We don't take time to even begin to read and understand God's word. It's so sad. Can you imagine just for a moment how sad Noah was when he was working on that ark and people wouldn't listen? Noah was sad, but God was so displeased with the people and their hardened hearts. But you know, a real preacher doesn't give up proclaiming God's word, proclaiming the truth of God's word, because people don't listen. Do you know what the difference between a pastor that is called and a pastor that just goes out? Is the pastor that is called doesn't give up. He keeps preaching. Noah preached, and God helped him build an ark just as God instructed him. Now, think about that. He builds this ark, and he doesn't even get to put it on the water and test it to see if it's going to float. That's trust. Sinners laughed at Noah building an ark and there's water here. They laughed at him because him and his family lived in a godly way. They lived for God. But look at it this way. The ark was built. Noah's family lived, and the world was destroyed by the floodwaters. Every person except Noah and his family drowned. All the living things upon the land drowned. Only what was saved is what God put in that ark and closed that door and sealed it. 8 souls were saved on the ark. Noah's family was separated from the wickedness of this world, all by the floodwaters. Well, sadly today, many people still refuse to believe and obey God. Preachers of righteousness are laughed at. Preachers are made fun of. Put all kinds of restrictions on in proclaiming God's word. But God is just as displeased with the people today as he was in Noah's day. But there's something I want you to know today, and that is that God's punishment is coming. It's coming again. God, the first time, sent the floodwaters in his punishment. This time, God is going to be sending fire and brimstone. Second Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you and wishing for any. Not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. God's word. He's waiting for you to come to repent of your sins and to accept him as your personal Savior. He's got it ready. He wants, his arms are open. The day of the Lord's going to come like a thief in the night, Scripture tells us. In which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. The elements will melt with this fervent heat that's going to be coming upon the earth. The earth and all the works therein will be burned up. There won't be anything left. But seeing all of these things burn up should cause Christian people to be concerned about their conversation and their living. Why do we not see that? Why are we not turning to a godly living? Why are we not looking forward to his glorious coming again? The Lord's not slow in keeping his promise, as some people think he is. Rather, in fact, God is patient. Patient with you and I. He does not want to see anyone lost. The day of the Lord's return, it's going to surprise some people. They're going to be surprised just like a thief in the night coming into their home. The heavens and earth will be destroyed, but God promises you and I a new heaven and a new earth where justice will rule throughout. But you know what? You're never going to see any of that new heaven and that new earth if you don't get into the ark. It's Noah's time all over this world again. In our text today, Christ is painting a picture in this parable. It's a comparison of humanity to Noah's day to the condition of mankind today. Make it personal. Make it now, my friend. Can you see the comparison? Can you begin to understand the comparison of what God is talking about? Jesus said the last generation would be just like the people were in Noah's generation. They were, we are, nothing but a pleasure-orientated and a self-gratifying generation. It's all about a me society. Some people today are eating and drinking. In other words, all they're doing is taking care of their physical wants and desires. Nothing else. They have no room for Jesus. All they're worried about is living the life. Not worried about where they're going to spend eternity. Jesus was talking about giving in marriage. He was speaking about the fact that people are only going to be concerned about the flesh and the fleshly lust and desires of the flesh. Instead of thinking about eating and drinking, we need to start thinking about what it means to repent, what it means to be on our knees and pray. The saddest part of this whole day is that they had no idea what was about to happen. There's so many people today who have not heard the gospel message. There are so many that have turned a deaf ear to the gospel message. People do not realize that destruction is right around the corner. Doom and gloom. But Jesus Christ, in our text today, is warning each and every one of us. Warning us that it's time now to get right with God. Do it now. Don't wait. Because the time is coming when God will separate the lost from the saved. Scripture tells us there will be two in the field. One will be taken, one will be left. What about the workforce today? What's it going to be like? Are you going to be there? Or are you going to be the one that's going to be taken? I am sure that when it began to rain, after the ark door had been shut, people were thinking this rain too shall end, and the sun is going to shine again real soon. They did not think that it was the end. They thought that it was just a time of heavy rain. Before the flood, people built cities. But they forgot about that God had made each one of them. People today have forgotten that God has created us in His image. Because we have become so busy with making money or doing whatever it is that we do that we don't take time for God. Today, we have modernized our cities. Today, we have modernized our homes. We've even modernized our highways. So it's very easy to get on a highway and go. We don't think anything of it. We've even modernized our churches today. But the one thing that hurts me the most is that when we've had churches today that have begun to modernize the old-time religion. They decided to change what God's word says, and let's line up with what society says. Let's find out what society wants, and that's what we're going to do. As a society, you can watch the society moves away from God and His righteousness. It's not our tendency to move towards God, is it? We need to take a real evaluation. In a few minutes, you're going to be getting up and walking out of this sanctuary. But there's one thing I want you to remember as you walk out of this sanctuary today, at least, just one thing, if nothing else. I want you to remember that in the days before the flood, man had made their own religion. It was a religion to suit themselves. In the days before the flood, man had strayed away from God. The days before the flood, they prospered and they made good wages. They lived on a very high standard of living. But in those days before the flood, they were too busy to hear the message of the coming judgment. Are you listening? Isn't it strange? People usually have God, they leave God when they're doing well. When things are going perfectly well, we walk away from God, and then as soon as there's a crisis in our lives, we call the pastor, we expect the pastor to be praying for us, we expect the church to be praying for us. But at any other time, we're too busy for God. In our day today, people are prospering like they've never prospered before. People today are spending lifetimes eating and drinking, caring only for the shell, not worried about the soul, the eternal part of them. It kind of almost seems like all we do is live for our stomachs. Today, most of us are working shorter hours than our parents or our grandparents did. When our parents and grandparents came to this country and began to take and work to settle this land, they worked long and hard. Today, we have more leisure time than we've ever had in society. But do we use that leisure time in reading God's word? We are more scripturally illiterate today than ever before. When it comes to attending church, do we really want to be in church? Do we want a service that's over 59 minutes, or do we get so that we get wiggly when the pastor gets so the message is too long? I served a church for a time where I had the pianist kind of ran the service. Every Sunday morning we needed to do 5-6 praise songs. We needed to do a minimum of 4 hymns. And you didn't ever take and cancel out a verse of the hymn. The time that was left is where the message was supposed to fit in. And she let me know in no uncertain terms that the service was to be 59 minutes. In other words, it was not to go over an hour. One Sunday morning, I cut out the last hymn. We sang just the first verse of it because the service had gotten quite long. I did not make it out of the church that morning until I was cornered and was informed that that would never happen again. She came to church to have her ears tickled. She didn't come to church to be convicted. Most of us spend very little time praying. We spend more and more of our leisure time worrying about our bodies, feeding the lusts of our flesh rather than our soul. Sporting events and other types of amusements have become the thing that we do now instead of going to church. And what happens is that people are getting so they have less and less time for God. Many churches today throughout our land, people are attending. They're attending that church with the idea of having their ears tickled because they do not want to be warned that there is a judgment day coming. I told the call committee and the councils when I came that if you're going to restrict me in my preaching and I can't preach what God's word says, I'm the wrong person for the job. I'm going to preach on the warning of judgment day because you all know that Noah believed in God. There are many examples in Scripture of people that believed. Noah and his family were saved from the water. God's word tells us that those that believed are saved unto eternal life. I want to tell you something today that I want you to remember this also is that God's word is true. God's word says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. I want you to think of that picture of that ark. Just picture that ark. And think of that ark as a picture of Jesus Christ. That ark was a place of refuge. It was a place of shelter. It was a place of safety. What is Jesus Christ? He's our refuge. He's our shelter. He's our Savior. He's our safety net. We can be saved from the wrath of God. But there's only one way, and that is Jesus Christ. There was only one ark that saved Noah and his family from the floodwaters. And there is only one way to salvation, and that is through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Amen. Lord, today again, I thank you for your word, the harshness and the cutting of it. But Lord, we need that. We need to be reminded that there is only one way to eternal life, and that is through you. Lead us and guide us today, Lord, as we take and continue looking to you. In thy name we pray. Amen. In closing today, let's turn to when the roll is called up.